This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a festive celebration of jazz and blues, a gala anniversary celebration, or a CD release party, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Are you in a festive mood? Well, a road trip might fill the bill as the Slidell Jazz and Blues Festival kicks off this weekend on the North Shore. Festival spokesman Don Thanars joins us now. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Glad to be here.
You must be quite excited as you embark upon the third Slidell Jazz and Blues Festival. Tell us, how did the festival get its start?
We were actually classmates in Leadership North Shore, and that's a leadership program sponsored by East St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. We are kind of broken up into smaller groups, and we're exposed to everything that's going on community-wide, on the government side, legislation, all those different facets that make a community work. And then based on your personality, you kind of identify needs. So we identified the need to create a vehicle that we could support music education in schools. We agreed on the Slidell Jazz and Blues Festival. We wanted to focus on those two genres of music, and it was a unanimous decision amongst our group. We subsequently formed Notes for Education North Shore, and that's really the nonprofit vehicle to support the academic and social development of the kids through music education and the performing arts. And then the Jazz and Blues Festival gives an opportunity, obviously, to expose folks to jazz and blues, showcase local talent, bring folks either from in and outside of the community, and just to have a great time. You know, Slidell is a great place, and a lot of folks pass through it but don't know much about it. But it's a great place to raise a family and to come have a good time. So we wanted to kind of be a part of all of that.
So as you look back on the festival, how successful has it been in helping students in music education programs?
Wow, very successful. The festival itself is the primary funding vehicle. And then those funds are kind of funneled back through Notes for Education to provide grants, pay for instrument refurbishments, and to include repairs of donated instruments. Because oftentimes those instruments are old and disrepair. They just need some work, you know, TLC, and then we can funnel those instruments back.
Now, I understand that the festival has also attracted attention from the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation. Is there a partnership this year?
We were actually awarded a grant that allows us to kind of assist to pay for the artists that will be performing in our festival. So I think long term, we want to establish a more formal relationship with them. This is kind of the first step into building this relationship.
So what's on tap? Who are your musical headliners?
Oh, wow. This year, opening our festival is a New Suit Band, followed by a New Orleans favorite, Stephanie Jordan. Followed by Stephanie Jordan is this young kid out of Clarksdale, Mississippi, Chris Stone Kingfish Ingram.
Nobody loves me. Nobody sings it. Nobody loves me. Nobody sings it. When it comes to bad luck and trouble, baby, you know I had my share. Every day.
He's a blues guitarist and vocalist. I would say the next B.B. King in the 21st century. Phenomenal musician. And he'll be followed by Astro Project, a band based out of New Orleans. They've been together over 25 years. And closing out our festival is the Biggie Brass Band. And these are high school kids, kind of self-formed, self-managed, self-led, 11-piece brass band. They modeled themselves kind of after the Rebirth Brass Band, but they're local Slidellians, and the finale is going to be a second line around the park.
Now, can you tell us a little bit more about Chris Stone Kingfish Ingram? His star is rising.
This kid has played around the globe, performed at the White House, started playing drums actually around 6 years old. He started drums and played bass, got into guitar, but he started playing professionally at 12 years old. Phenomenal blues guitarist. A phenomenal kid. In fact, he is turning 18 and graduating from high school.
Now, is that him on this year's poster?
That is him. The drawing actually was done by a local Slidellian, Adam Sambola. He's been painting for several years. His kind of signature mark is the crawfish. And so when you look at some of his paintings, you may have to kind of just peruse the picture enough, but once you hit it and see it, it will probably just kind of resonate with you. This is the third year that he's done our festival. He volunteers his time to do the festival kind of with little direction from us. He kind of puts his creative juices to work, and then voila, he presents this fabulous painting to us. And this year, he chose to feature Kingfish.
Wow. Now, when I think about a festival, one of the first things that comes to mind is food.
Well, as you would expect, we don't fall short there. We're going to have great barbecue crawfish pasta, boudin balls, fried Oreos, jambalaya, and shrimp on a stick.
Ooh.
Boiled crawfish will be available as well. In addition to that, we're going to have local artisans that will be available with their wares.
Are there activities for kids?
There will be face painting. Then there's a children's park area right across from the performing arts stage, and it has a live water fountain that kids just get out and play, and it automatically will start showering them with water.
This is in Heritage Park. Where is that?
Heritage Park is in Old Town Slidell off of Front Street. If you were coming in from New Orleans, you would take I-10 East, exit 265, and then turn left, and it'll dead end right there at the park.
Now, besides a good time, what are you hoping folks will come away with after attending this year's festival?
Well, the biggest thing is be excited about coming back for our fourth annual festival. More importantly, I want them to understand how important music education is to a kid's development. Oftentimes today, we find as budgets are cut, the arts and things outside of sports oftentimes are the first cut. But there have been countless studies that have been done that showed how important and how kids perform or excel through music education. They tend to graduate high school at a much higher rate, perform better in English, math, in the STEM classes, and they have better social skills. Music is an international art form. You may not be able to speak the language, but you can stand on stage and play with anybody.
What a great way to have fun and to learn something, too.
Yes, it excites me.
Slidell Jazz and Blues Festival spokesman Don Fenars. The Slidell Jazz and Blues Festival kicks off Saturday afternoon in Heritage Park from 3 until 10 p.m. More info online at slidelljazzandblues.com. Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane University is celebrating a golden anniversary with a retrospective concert, Let's Go On With the Show, featuring performances from the past 50 years. The gala anniversary celebration also marks the start of a new season with a variety of offerings. Artistic Director Michael McKelvey joins us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Golden anniversaries are so special. Hard to believe the show has been going on for half a century. What are your thoughts on the milestone?
It kind of blows my mind a little bit. I mean, this is only my second year with the company.
Yeah.
And in those 2 years, learning about the lineage of this organization from the Frank Monachino days, starting the company back in 1968, to Michael Howard taking over the company about 25 or so years later, all the people who have come through Summer Lyric for 50 years. Yeah, it's just kind of mind-boggling of what an institution this summer theater has become.
You said you've only been there 2 years, mm-hmm. but in those 2 years, can you talk about maybe the growth that you've seen?
It's been very interesting to see this company that started truly as a community theater. When Frank started the company, Tulane wanted more community outreach. There was nothing happening in New Orleans in the summers. So Frank just got some students together, faculty members together, some people from the community, and just kind of said, let's put on a show. You had performers going to the Goodwill to buy their costumes. You had people setting up concession areas out of offices. I was even told that they would sneak in a garden hose from outside to bring in water to mix a lemonade so they had something for refreshments. And now it's 50 years later. We have professional performers. We still have held true to Frank's mission of having a professional orchestra at every production. We have this great affiliation with the Louisiana Philharmonic and its members. But I think it's looking at the photographs over the history of the 50 years that has really take me back because I see incrementally how the production values have raised, whether it be in the sets or the costumes. I hear about these great performers who kind of got their start with Summer Lyric here in New Orleans, and it might be their first professional credit, and then they've gone on to great Broadway careers, international opera careers. Some of them were former Tulane students. Some of them happened to just be from the Gulf South region. But Summer Lyric was always noted for a certain amount of quality. We've seen that quality raise year after year after year after year. I think if I put my mark on anything in the past 2 years, it's just being true to that tradition, but also looking for our next audience or bringing new audience members to the fold.
And Summer Lyric is kicking off its 50th anniversary gala with a huge concert. Tell us what's on tap.
When I first met with members of my steering committee, especially our chair, Barbara Workman, she's amazing, and Charlie Hayes, who's been our organizational manager for about the past 14 years, I think they thought I was a little out of my mind when I was talking about the scope of how big I wanted this to be, but I said, you only turn 50 once. So we threw the net out to all of these amazing alumni we have, not only around New Orleans or the Gulf South, but the country and even internationally. And we just said, hey, we're going to do this one-night event. Do you want to come in and sing? And the response was overwhelming to us. Melissa Marshall, who is a favorite of the Summer Lyric audience, she's coming in from Germany. Local opera star Sarah Jane McMahon has said, sure thing, I'll come over and do some tunes for you. Mark Embry's coming in from New York, as is Julie Tolliver, some local favorites who have Broadway careers, Leslie Castay, Brian Batt. We have over 50 performers, as well as the great members of the Louisiana Philharmonic coming in to play in the pit for the night. And all this is going to support our endowment so we can guarantee another 50 years of excellence.
Now the concert also kicks off a new season. How will the new season pay homage to the theater's milestone?
The first show Summer Lyric ever produced was Annie Get Your Gun. Back in 1968. That season consisted of Annie Get Your Gun, Student Prince, and Carousel. We hadn't done Annie in a decade or so, and I said, let's do it. So we're doing Irving Berlin's Annie Get Your Gun to kick off the season. Diane Lala is going to stage direct and choreograph that. Then Hairspray was something I was very committed to. It's a show I love. I think it's smart. I think it says something about America. It speaks of diversity. It speaks of community. Has a great score by Mark Shaman. So we're going to do that as our second show. And then I think one of the greatest musical theater experiences of all time that's ever been written is Gypsy by Jules Stein and Stephen Sondheim and Arthur Lawrence. I think it is one of the top 10 musicals of all time. And Liz Argus on stage playing Mama Rose. And what could be better than that?
Wow. Did you have a theme in mind?
Women, strong women, and women central to the work. So we've entitled this season, One Singular Sensation, a tribute to the ladies of the Great White Way. I think we're going to bring something really special, and hopefully a lot of young ladies will come into the theater this summer and see these characters and these actresses on stage bring these characters to life, and maybe make them want to go into this profession as well, or just motivate them to be more, to want more.
Summer Lyric Theater, Artistic Director Michael McKelvey. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
You'll be swell, you'll be great. I can tell, just you wait. That lucky star I talk about is due.
Save the date. Summer Lyric Theater's 50th anniversary gala kicks off Saturday, June 3rd, at Tulane University's Dixon Hall. The new season begins June 22nd. More info is online at summerlyric.tulane.edu. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. New Orleans songbird Debbie Davis and pianist Josh Paxton have a new CD, a live recording called Vices and Virtues. It marks their solo debut as a duo after 20 years of collaboration. Debbie and Josh are here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
I can only imagine your excitement as your live album, Vices and Virtues, is a reality. Where was it recorded and how did it come to be?
Up on the third floor of the old U.S. Mint down on Decatur and Esplanade, right on the edge of the French Quarter, is a beautiful performance and rehearsal and recording space that's owned by the United States Parks Department, and it's part of the National Jazz Historical Park. A lot of people have performed there, but not all of them realize that they actually have recording facilities that are part of the performance room. So we brought in Mark Bingham to help set up some microphones and a couple extra preamps and oversee the recording. But what you hear is basically what that facility is capable of.
Now, you guys have worked together for the past 20 years. How did you meet?
There's actually a discrepancy there. Debbie claims we met through Lee Harris, a wonderful singer who we both worked with. But
Lil
before
Queenie?
That, yeah,
that's right.
Lil Queenie.
Uh-huh.
But before that, you apparently don't remember this, but I met you through Matt, through your husband.
I think Matt was on the gig with Queenie.
That may have been so.
See, I think all the convergences are there. It's just, you know, holes in our memory, which are considerable.
I'll yes.
absolutely admit to that.
So, Debbie, how did a girl from Jersey wind up in New Orleans?
I came down here when a friend of mine was moving cross-country. He was moving to Colorado, and since New Orleans was only about 700 miles out of the way, we decided to come down here. And we didn't know we were coming down during Jazz Fest until the day before we left. And while I was at the Jazz Fest, the second weekend, I walked by the Economy Hall tent, and I heard Tim Laughlin playing, who's now a good friend of mine, whom I didn't know at the time. And we went in to hear him play, and there was an upright bass player standing at the back of the stage. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "That one. He will be mine. Oh, yes, he will be mine." And Matt, I've been married for 19 years this September. So there you are.
This is Matt Berine?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. You grew up in a musical family.
That's right.
I think your parents were opera singers?
They were. They still are. They teach primarily now, but I spent most of my early childhood traveling with them.
Was there any doubt that you would sing?
Yeah, I think I thought I was going to be a dramatic actress. But then I had a bad knee accident that took me out as a dancer. And to fill in the time, I started singing with bands locally. And the hook got put in my cheek and I got yanked into the boat. That was the end of it.
It's incredible. Josh, are you a native New Orleanian?
No, I grew up in Cincinnati. I came to New Orleans for grad school. At this very campus, in fact, and got my degree. And by the time I did, I had fallen in love with the city and I was making a living playing. So I stayed and I've pretty much been here ever since.
What can we look forward to in your upcoming performance at Snug Harbor?
We're going to do a lot of music from the record. In fact, mostly music from the record. But there will certainly be some surprises because you can't trust us with a format.
In fact, having the record makes it a lot easier to come up with a set list.
Yeah, we just flip the CD over and look down the back.
What are some of your favorites?
There's an Irving Berlin song that we do called What'll I Do that I love. I think it's possibly one of the saddest songs ever written. Definitely in the top five. It's so plain and so open in its sadness. You don't really have to do anything but sing it accurately and get out of its way.
What'll I do when you are far away and I'm so blue? What'll I do?
We played it through once and I went, "Oh my God, that's a beautiful song. We have to keep doing that."
Yeah.
You've done some covers for Fats Waller and also the Beatles?
The Beatles songs are both Paul McCartney songs.
In fact, that came about through the Paul McCartney concert that happened. That was
right.
How we started doing both of those, wasn't it?
It was definitely how we started doing Lady Madonna.
Yeah.
Because it's such a piano-centric tune.
And the other is When I'm 64?
That's right.
And what about the Fats Waller tune?
You know, that's a tune that that Debbie suggested we start doing, and I was a little bit hesitant because I was familiar with the tune, of course, but it was one that I had never really figured out what to do with as a pianist. You know, I played it and never really been happy with what I'd done with it. And she'd call it on a gig and I'd be like, really? Do we have to do that one? She'd be like, yes. And but through doing that, I eventually came to figure out something that seemed to work, and now it's one of my favorite tunes in the book.
And that tune is?
Oh, Jitterbug Waltz.
And it's a song that a lot of people don't realize that there are lyrics to, mostly because there are a lot of them and they are hard to sing.
My bad. I was thinking it was Lulu's Back in Town.
You know what? There is actually a theory that Fats Waller wrote Lulu's Back in Town and sold it to the people who take credit for it, because it sounds a great deal like several other songs that he wrote. And Fats was famous for sitting down at a restaurant with no money in his pocket, or sitting down at a bar with nothing to pay with. And he would eat and drink all day, and then when it came time to pay the bill, he'd say, oh, well, I can't really do that. Would it be all right if I wrote you a song instead? And more times than not, people said, yeah, all right, fine, and then put their names on it. So there are a lot of songs out there floating around that Fats Waller could absolutely have written that don't have his name on it. And that one, there's more than one academic theory that supports the fact that he had written it. He pretty much wrote everything before 1930, right? Can we just...
Yeah.
Him and Hoagy Carmichael, everybody else was just playing scales.
And the title of the recording, the CD, Vices and Virtues, where did that come from?
Actually, it was inspired by what ended up being the cover photo. It was just a shot that Zach Smith happened to get of a bottle of Jameson's that I had happened to bring along to the gig, like you do.
Thankfully, like you do.
Sitting on a table next to the piano. And those two things inspired the phrase Vices and Virtues. And my original idea was something like songs to inspire your vices and virtues with, or something like
that. Right, but I couldn't fit that
shortened
on the spine of the CD.
Right.
What would you say you're most proud of?
The fact that we went in there and in 90 minutes got 83 minutes of music.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah. I think it's the lightning in the bottle thing. It'll never happen again. So, for the good or the bad that is. But we're hoping to get as much of that lightning back in the bottle on Thursday at Snug.
Vocalist Debbie Davis and pianist Josh Paxton, thanks.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Debbie.
Lady Madonna, children at your feet, wonder how you manage to make ends meet. Who finds the money when you pay the rent? Did you think the money was heaven sent? Friday night arrives without a suit.
Debbie Davis and Josh Paxton perform works from their new CD, Vices and Virtues, Thursday evening at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro, 626 Frenchman Street. There will be two sets, 8 and 10 p.m. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.